Amen. Well, good evening. It's a lovely day in Roanoke, Virginia. Had to think about where I was for a moment. But I'm glad to be with you all. You got a copy of the Bible? How many of y'all have a copy of God's Word? Do you? Take your copy of God's Word, find the book of Daniel, and let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 in your Bible. If you can't find that, find Obadiah and go to the left. And in just a moment, you'll be at Daniel chapter 1. I'll give you a moment to get there. I'm so happy to be here at the Prayer Advance again this year. One of the great privileges of my life is to serve the Lord and to get to preach and to minister to people like you. And I'm just so thankful for that. A lot of you I know feel like I've known you forever. Some of you are new, and I hope we get acquainted this weekend. This is just an incredible crowd, isn't it? And this is quite an auditorium, too, isn't it? I like this. Looks good up here. There's lights and screens everywhere. Man, we're good, aren't we? This is just great. And I'm glad to be with Brother Harold Vaughn. How many of y'all love Brother Harold Vaughn? Don't y'all? We praise the Lord for Brother Vaughn. He's a dear friend of mine. He's always been like a grandfather to me. I just love him to death for that. He is my friend. I appreciate Brother Vaughn. How many of y'all follow him on social media? If you're bored, just, have nothing. If you're lonely, just get on his mailing list. Sign up, because he'll be there every day. What a guy, and I sure appreciate him. I was just thinking about today, I spent much of my life not knowing Brother Vaughn. Then somewhere along the way, I think it was your son Stephen. I preached somewhere, and he was there, and he said to Dad, you ought to get to know Brother Dave. And I am so glad he did. My wife and I just are so thankful for Brother Harold and Miss Debbie and their friendship to our family. My kids love Brother Harold. My son took me to the airport this morning at 4 a.m., we left the house at 4 a.m. down in Florida, he was a little sad that he didn't get to see Brother Harold, but he had to work, so he couldn't be here, but I'm sure happy to be here with you. Daniel chapter 1 in your Bible. You all know this story, I'm sure. Let's just begin reading and get right into God's Word, all right? Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the house, or into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Stop right there just a moment and meditate on what we just read. You know what the word understatement means, don't you? These words are kind of an understatement. He says it like it's just casual, just like it's no big deal, like, this happens every day, that all of a sudden the king comes down, besieges the land, takes their gold and silver out of their temple, and he just says it so casually. Anybody notice that besides me? It's like it's an understatement. It's just so casual. And I found that so interesting. I found several understatements in the Bible. Do you ever think about stuff like that when you read God's Word? My favorite understatement is a verse you know about Jael, the wife of Heber, that took a nail. How many of y'all know that verse? Yeah, the Sisera, wasn't that his name? Fleeing from the enemy, ran to her tent, hides in her tent, and falls asleep because he's exhausted. And the Bible just says it's just casually, like this happens all the time, that Jael, the wife of Heber, took a nail. If you're in the King James, it rhymes. Jael took a nail. Jael took a nail and went softly over there to Sisera and drove that tent peg through, the Bible says, through his temple and fastened his head to the ground. Just like that's just something you do all the time. Just casual. And then the Bible says this, so he died. No kidding. I think I'd have died too, wouldn't you? And here's one of those. It's just so casual. The Bible, here's Daniel down in Judah. Think about that. It's not in my notes. And so I don't have a point on this on the screen, but I put a sermon together for this first session and then went back and kept thinking and meditating and came up with another point. And you really got to start here with Daniel's past. He's introducing us to Daniel's past. He was a young man down in Judah, and that's where God is. That's God's people. And Daniel's down here watching his world fall apart. You imagine why? He almost overlooks it. But Daniel is witnessing the land he loves fall apart.
And notice, this is a strange thing, isn't it? In verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Isn't that interesting? Daniel's seeing all this. This is Daniel's past. How's your past? What's going on in your past? How many of y'all have a past? Anybody here have a past? Y'all have a past? How many of y'all have a past that you're a little bit ashamed of? Anybody here like that? A lot of us, wouldn't we? And anybody here got a past that keeps following you? Anybody here battling that? And Daniel's got a past here, doesn't he? And you really can't understand Daniel fully until you start thinking about that past. He's just a young man, and he's watched his world fall apart. You might think, you know, boy, life's been hard on me, but I don't know. I don't know if I know anybody that's been as hard on as it's been on Daniel. And Daniel's lost his mom and dad. All, you know, we don't have all the details, but it would appear that probably his mom and dad were slaughtered in the besieging of Judah. So his mom and dad are gone, and he's just a kid. That's a pretty heavy past, wouldn't you say? And we don't know how far to go with this, because the Bible leaves it a little open-ended. But we do know that here's Daniel under the prince of the eunuchs. And there are many who would believe that Daniel, now that he's a slave in this pagan land, serving a pagan king in a pagan culture where there's pagan idols, that this young man will never have a wife. Was he made a eunuch himself? We don't know. It appears that he probably was. And no matter how you slice that, brothers, am I right or am I wrong? That's a pretty serious matter. Are y'all with me on that or not? I mean, it's... this is the way it is, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing like, whoa, isn't that great? This is heavy stuff. This is Daniel's past. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but as we start this prayer advance, our speakers just had prayer for you, for us. And I don't know, there's probably somebody in this room, and the fact of the matter is, your past includes a marriage problem and a recent one. And the same thing that's happening in Daniel's life needs to happen in yours in this prayer advance. Some of you have got a real struggle with lust in your heart and life. That's your past. And it's not that far gone. It's just maybe last night or last week or last month. Daniel's got a past here, and we're introduced to that in this passage. And notice that verse 4. I some time ago I was traveling somewhere by myself, and you ever in the car and you turn on the radio, you're trying to, you know, fill in the hours of just driving, and you turn the radio on and you scroll through and see what you can find. And one day I was traveling, I think it was in Alabama, and I came across a radio station, and it was a guy preaching. I have no idea who he was. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't recognize his voice, but he was preaching about Daniel. And he read that fourth verse. And he said to his church, he said, here was Daniel. The Bible says he was one of the children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding. And what we find here is that the king took that young man because he was so good looking and so brilliant. And the preacher on the radio, he said, well, you know, church, he said, I guess if I'd have been there, I'd have been taken. That kind of caught me off guard. I about ran off the road. But he was taken, and we do get a glimpse here. I'll come back to that in a moment. And then the verse 5 just jumps right into the story. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these, you know this, were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In verse 7, they get names, Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael is Meshach, and Azariah is Abednego. In verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king. You know that story. Verse 11, Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared, you ought to underline this in your Bible, fairer and fatter. Say that out loud. Fairer and fatter. Say it with enthusiasm. Fairer and fatter. Anybody find that encouraging? The blessings of God meant they were fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. So Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine and gave them Paul's. And look at verse 17. Here's the result. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. How many of y'all know there's still a God in heaven who still moves on behalf of his men who will do what's right and honor him with their lives? Do y'all believe that or not? There's no reason for us to come to the men's prayer advance and leave discouraged, because there is a God in heaven, and he still works, and he still moves, and he still blesses, and he still responds to us when we come to him in obedience. He's Almighty God, and I'm convinced with every ounce of my being, he wants to do a work in our midst that could literally turn the world upside down. There's only 120 people in the book of Acts, that first little prayer meeting. And boy, what happened? This 120 people, a few days later, they had quite a service, didn't they? They had 3,000 people get saved, baptized, and join their church. Wouldn't that mess up your church? Could you imagine getting 3,000 new converts into your church in this generation? You'd have people in miniskirts everywhere, wouldn't you? It's just, you'd have people smoking in your parking lot. And some of you, it's been years since somebody smoked in your parking lot, and it's time somebody changes that. I'm being serious. Did you know when our churches, we all look the same, we all dress the same, we all have the same haircut, we're all on the same page, that probably means we're not winning people to Jesus. Because you win people to Jesus, you're going to have some messed up people in your church. Did you know that? And it's glorious when it's there. Everybody needs messed up people in your church. They don't know what to do, don't know how to do. They say things the wrong way. I preached in my church not long ago, my home church, and there's a new convert in there. And the man had the audacity. The guy just got saved, and he's just on fire for the Lord. He had the audacity after I preached to grab me by the hand, hug my neck, and told me that was one blank of a sermon I just preached. I couldn't believe it. I caught me plumb off guard. Did he just say what I think he just said? And you know what? I'll take it. Get some new converts in your church. There's a God in heaven that's able to move. You know that, don't you? 3,000 people got saved as a result of their prayer meeting. There's a whole lot more of us than they had. Wonder what God could do in our generation if you and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and got right with God and clean with God and went back home to our marriages and to our families and to our schools and to our homeschool co-ops and to our churches and saw God do mighty things on our behalf. Wouldn't it be great to be fairer and fatter in our generation? This is our God. Right here he is. Let's talk about Daniel chapter 1, a man of purpose. And if you're going to start here, you got to really start in Daniel chapter 1. You start like this. Start with Daniel's person. Now, you got to figure out who this guy is. Here's Daniel's person. He shows up here. He's a young man. The Bible uses the word children here, but you know this, don't you? This is a youth. This is an offspring. And most everybody would assume, and it seems right, that he's probably a teenager, maybe 17 or so years old. And so here he is, and notice how the Bible describes him. I've already touched on it. The Bible says that Daniel here was good looking. There was no blemish, and he was well favored. You all know this, don't you? God's not opposed to you looking good. Aren't you encouraged by that, Brother Harold? Yeah, it's a gift from God, isn't it, brother? I mean, it's just how God did it. And here he says, he chose them because there was no blemish, but well favored. And they were skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge. Notice you could say he was naturally gifted. There's no doubt about it. You with me on this? Daniel was good looking, wasn't he? And he was naturally gifted. But there's something about Daniel. Sometimes that can kind of, you know, discourage you a little bit. Because, you know, you might be in this room and you might think, well, that's nice, Daniel. But then there's me. And some of you, I just got news for you. You don't get the first point. And I know your wife thinks otherwise. At least I hope she does. My wife calls me handsome hunk of man. You can just call me Dave. But he's good looking here. That may not be you. He's naturally gifted. And the fact of the matter is, not many of us are there, are we? There's not a lot of most of us aren't naturally gifted. How many of y'all, everything you got, you work like a dog for it. Wasn't a natural gift to you. You worked and scraped by, and it just wasn't. It didn't come easy to you. It did for Daniel, though. You see this in the text. It did for Daniel. But there's one other thing about Daniel I want you to notice here. And it's not only was he good looking and naturally gifted, but notice that he was willing to learn. And you got to catch that. Daniel is willing to learn. And I like this because he brought him down here so he could teach him the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And can I just encourage you a moment about Daniel's person? There's no doubt about it that Daniel did have some gifts and natural things that you and I may not have. But any one of us can climb to the third one there, can't we? Because I may not know God's will for my life, but I can learn God's will for my life. You may not know how to be the husband you ought to be, but you can learn how to be the husband you ought to be. After all, hasn't God given you His Word and given you His church and given you His Spirit and given you other brothers to help you and teach you and instruct you? There's no way around it. Anybody in this room who wants to be victorious in your Christian life, you can be if you're willing to learn. See, it's about Daniel's character. So just think about Daniel's character here just for a moment, because character matters, doesn't it? How many of y'all believe that? Character matters. And here's about character. Character must be learned. You know that, don't you? How many dads are in the room? How many have a son or daughter at home? How many of y'all know that part of your job as a parent is to train your children in Christian character? Did you know that? It doesn't come naturally. How many of y'all discovered when you had children that the Bible's right? They are born sinners. Can I get a witness? There's just no doubt about it. I had one guy say to me one time, he's like, and I was trying to witness to him, you know, and I said, you know, the Bible even says we're born sinners. He said, I don't like that. I said, you got kids? And he didn't. I said, well, get married and have a few, and you'll agree with me in the Bible. There's no way around that, is there? But here's the deal. Your kids need character. You've got to train them in character. I don't know anything at all about Daniel's parents, but there is no doubt about it. You don't get Daniel chapter 1 without something in his background training him in Christian character. Dads, we've sat around too long and allowed our children to watch TV and scroll through the internet. And how many, we're so hard on this generation, aren't we? This bunch of kids can't work, don't know how to work, can't change a tire, can't even drive a stick shift. Don't you be hard on those kids. The reason I can drive a stick shift is because somebody taught me. My dad, when I was 11, put me in the front seat of a Chevy pickup truck with 3-speed on the column. How many of y'all remember that? I was 11. We're in a 40-acre hayfield. Dad said, that's a clutch, that's a brake, that's an accelerator. This is first gear. Now he said, son, get on the end of that seat there and push that clutch down and get over here and put your heel on that brake and then take your foot and rev it. Hear that? Hear that? That's called revving the engine. Now you say, what you got to do is you got to put the clutch off and rev and take all that's got to happen all at the same time. Slip the clutch off, slip your foot off the brake there and give it gas and you'll go in first gear. You know what? I learned to drive. 5 clutches later, I was pretty good. You don't get a Daniel by accident. If there's ever been a generation where we need to train our young men to love God, to know God and to walk with God and stand for character and integrity and righteousness. Brothers, it doesn't happen by accident. You don't get Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 where Daniel's willing to stand up in a pagan land with a pagan king where there's pagan worship everywhere and pagan idolatry. You don't get a Daniel there without somebody in his background praying up a storm, somebody in his background training him in Christian character. Brothers, we've got to do a better job in this generation. Here's a man, character must be learned. But aren't you glad for that last line there? Character can be developed. Because don't you let the devil defeat you. Somebody here can hear me preach this and say, well, you know what, that's great, but nobody taught me how to work hard. Nobody taught me how to have character and integrity and honesty. I didn't get all of that, so I guess there's no hope for me. I just got good news for you. Character does matter, and it ought to be learned, but it can be developed. If you feel like, you know what, I don't know where in the world I am spiritually, all right, brother, pick it up. How many of you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? How many have a Bible? You can get in your Bible every day. Set yourself an alarm clock. Get your phone out of your room. Move your phone out of your room. Get your phone out of your room. Plug it into your mom or daddy's room. Plug it into the kitchen. Plug it in. Leave it in the car. And buy yourself an old-fashioned alarm clock and set it about 7 feet from your bed. And let it go off at about 200 decibels and it'll drag you out of bed and everybody else with it. Y'all with me on this? And get out of bed and get in your Bible. You can develop Christian character in your life. And if your dad wasn't a Christian, you know what God wants to do in your life? If you didn't grow up in a Christian home, do you know God wants you to be the first? Your family could be the first of a generation of an amazing Christianity because of you. But you got to learn character and you got to develop it. This is who we're talking about, Daniel's person. I'm here with me so far. Let's talk about Daniel's purpose then, all right? Look at Daniel's purpose. Here we are in chapter 1 now. You get down to verse 8, and the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Daniel's purpose was summed up in the words, I will not. Chew on that a moment. Daniel's purpose is summed up in the words, no, I will not. How many of you brothers agree with me this afternoon? We are in need of godly men who will say, I will not. I will not. I will not. It's not my strength. It's not a matter of arrogance. It's not some redneck flag waving an American kind of thing. It's a matter of godliness that says, Lord, this is not right. And I'm not going that way. No. How long has it been since you had an I will not in your life as a man? I'm not watching that. Because that scene right there is not right for a godly man to watch. I will not. Can't log on to Instagram much, maybe not at all. How many of you are aware of the fact that about every third reel has the F word in it? The name of our God with the word damn after it. I will not. Isn't this amazing? He's probably 16 or 17. You know what? He didn't tell anybody. In my heart, I've decided I'm not going that way. He's just a young man, but we need some older men here tonight in 2023 to say, no, as for me and my house, we will not. We're not going to go the way of the world. We're not going to let the world tell us how to live. We're not going to let the world tell us how to dress. We're not going to let the world tell us how to raise our children. We're going to be different in this world because we are in need of revival. I will not. How many of y'all know that we're living in the same kind of hour Daniel was? Anybody aware that you're living in a pagan culture? Anybody besides me aware of that? And you got pagan leadership. Can I get a witness here? Just name whoever it is, and probably they're pagan. Say, well, I'm Republican. How's that working out for you? Well, I'm a Democrat. How's that working out for you? Really, really doesn't matter. See much anymore, does it? When you vote, you're probably pretty much getting the same thing. Maybe one a little more conservative, one a little less conservative. But it just seems like politics is politics and not much different than Daniel's day. Y'all with me on that or not? And the issue is that somebody in this pagan culture has got to say, I will not. And here's how you look at it. This is what it's based on. Daniel's purpose is based on the fact that he put God first. Daniel's purpose is based on the fact. What's the point here? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Is that just something cute to say? Not on your life, brothers. Here's a young man that said, I'm going to put God first in my life. Could you honestly say up there on the shelf, that's the balcony for the rest of you, could you guys up there in the balcony honestly say that God is first in your life like he was in Daniel? Is there any evidence that God is first in your life? Does your internet history evidence that God is first? Do the movies you've watched in the last 2 months evidence that God is first in your life? Does the fact that you had family devotions with your kids evidence that God is first in your life? Does the fact that you get on your knees, that you open God's Word for yourself on a regular basis, evidence that God is first in your life? The way you treat your wife, evidence that God is first in your life? The things you will not do and the things you must do, is there any evidence in your life that God is first? You get an I will not here because God was first in Daniel's life. God's first. God's only first. Daniel's purpose was to please God. Isn't that the point? God, you're first in my life, and this doesn't please you. So God, what I want to do is please you. And then notice just simply, he proves God. Which leads us to the next thought here. Daniel not only put God first, and Daniel not only set out to please God, but he proved God. Which leads me to this thought. Here's Daniel's proposal. Did you catch Daniel's proposal? He decided in his heart, I'm not doing it. This is me. I'm not doing it. Now explain something. Look at verse 8 if you got your Bible. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not. And then later it says, therefore, he requested that he might not defile himself. Everything in verse 8 is single. Am I right? Y'all with me on that? Okay, then look at verse 7. Verse 9 here. Now God had brought Daniel, that's single. Then look at verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. Watch this now. For why should he see your faces? All right, wait a minute. How many faces does Daniel have? Well, you know the answer to that, don't you? He's got how many? What happened? How do you get from verse 8? He will not. He requested. It was himself. Two verses later, the Melzar says, now hold on a minute. The king's going to see your faces. Something's happened between verse 8 and verse 10 that brought others along with him. And brothers, did you know that's always been God's plan? Did you know that every Daniel needs to influence a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego so they will get on board as well? Well, think about what we could do in this room. If every one of us in this room had a Daniel 1:8 experience and went back home and found us a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they had a Daniel 1:8 experience, wonder what a difference it would make in our churches if every man in our church influenced three other men and got them on fire for God as well. As far as I know, Daniel's the only one that determined he would not, but when it's all said and done, there's three other boys with him, and they're just as much on fire for God as he was. Doesn't that just encourage you? This is an incredible text. And then notice this. Then the Bible gives this proposal. Daniel said in verse 12, all right, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Now here's the proposal. The proposal is pretty simple. Prove us 10 days. I got a quote for you here. Let's put this next quote on the screen for us, guys, and let's think this one through. How many of y'all agree with this? God's will is always best. Can you say amen to that? It's always best. But it takes time for the full blessing to be evident. We struggle with that in Christianity today because we're Americans. How many of y'all are Americans? Are you American? Are y'all Americans? All right. How many of y'all love living in this hour? We're blessed, aren't we? It's a great hour to be alive, isn't it? You know what I did this morning? My alarm went off at 3:30. I got a shower, grabbed my stuff, jumped in my truck. My son dropped me in an airport in Florida. And a few moments later, I was in Atlanta. It's a great time to be alive. Just a few moments after that, I was in Roanoke, Virginia. A few moments after that, I went down to the Hertz rental car place and I had one of them cheap cars reserved. Bless them, they didn't have any. They didn't have any. She said, well, Mr. Young, I got a minivan or a BMW SUV, which one you want? I'm like, seriously? I'll take that minivan. Not on your life. Are you kidding me? Give me that. I've never driven a BMW in my life, but I look pretty good in one. Y'all know that? And if my wife was with me, man, we'd look really good. It's a great hour. I got a cell phone. Last Sunday, I preached in Bozeman, Montana. That was the 48th state I've gotten to preach in since I became an evangelist. 48. I got Vermont and Hawaii to go. Y'all pray about Hawaii, will you? I mean, I'll preach in Vermont, but I really think it's of the Lord that I preach in Hawaii. In fact, I got a friend that pastored in Minot, North Dakota, a little town called Harvey, actually. And he had me come up and preach a revival for him. It was a big church, about this size. We had a great revival. I about froze to death. It snowed every day. Miserable weather. I had a great revival. And I'm telling you, I don't want to live in Harvey, North Dakota. Then he left there and went to Northern Michigan and had me come preach a revival. Brothers, I about froze to death. It snowed one day, sleeted the next. My water lines froze up on my RV. Man, we had a great revival, but it's bad. God called him to Hawaii and he was there 5 years. Never invited me. That man had the audacity to call me not long. Now he pastors in Illinois. Asked me if I'd come preach for him. I said no. I don't have many standards left in my life, Brother Harold, but I got some. And that's one of them. I'm not preaching in Illinois if you can't have me when you're Hawaii. How many of y'all agree that's of the Lord? Last week I was in Bozeman, Montana. And here I am now. Isn't this amazing hour to be alive? I love my cell phone. I get my phone out and I go, hey, take me to. And then I have to look, where am I going? Brother Harold moved today, so I didn't know where I was. So I had to get out my email, look it up. Parkway Church. Take me to Parkway. And my phone, you know what my phone did? My phone said, turn right. And I did. Said, turn left. And I did. Said, go through these lights. Go this way. Turn right, right here. Go half a mile. And here I am. If my phone had said, turn it here, whatever it says, I do. How many of y'all with me on that? One of these days, it's going to gang up on us. We're all going to wind up in the Pacific Ocean. It's a great hour to be alive, isn't it? It's a great hour to be alive. And if you're not careful, you can miss the time factor in your Christianity. God's will is always best. And don't you ever think anything less than that, because that's the truth. God's will is always good, and God's will is always acceptable, and God's will is always perfect. But it takes time for the full blessing to be evident. How long does it take to raise children? I got a friend, he had a baby, and when his baby was 6 weeks old, I went over to his house and met his baby and prayed for him. And he said to me, he's from Alabama, he said to Brother Dave, he said, I don't know if I'm going to survive this or not. He said, I haven't slept in 6 weeks. I have the gift of encouragement. I said, hang in there, pal. He'll probably move out in about 19 or 20 years. Give it 19 or 20 years and you'll be fine. How many of y'all with me on that? Takes a lot of time to have a godly family, doesn't it? How many of you brothers know that it takes a lot of time to build a Christian life? How many days do you have to be in the Bible before you start seeing the fruit? How long does it take a godly man to have a really godly marriage? Now, I'm thankful for the ones, aren't you? Like, I know that there's power in one service. How many of y'all know that? You go to one service. I went to one service, one night, heard the gospel, and God saved. Praise God for one service. Changed my life. I was in one service the night God called me to preach. I was in one service the night I found out about Christ in me meant that I could have victory over the indwelling sin in my life. And it changed my life. But Christianity is a matter of getting God's full blessing, and that takes time. So Daniel said, prove me 10 days. All right, here's what he said. Let's try it, and if it doesn't work, let's forget it. Joshua said the same kind of thing in Joshua 24, because Joshua said, he said, look, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. You ever read that and thought, that's a strange thing to say? Like you suppose there's some guy somewhere going, you know what, I'd serve God, but if I did, that'd be a bad thing. I'd serve God, but if I did, you know, I'd probably have to marry an ugly girl. I mean, is it a bad thing to serve God? Daniel said, look, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, here's what he's saying, then don't serve Him. If it's not worth it to serve God, don't do it. If it's not worth it to have God's blessings in your marriage and family, leave Him out of your marriage and family. If this doesn't work, let's forget it. How many of y'all know that God's plan for your life is that there be evidence in your life that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect? This is what God's trying to show us here in the first chapter of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart, and just so you would know that it's always worth it to do God's will and to do what's right and have revival in your life, God says, you know what? I'll bless you. I'm 52. I say that because I look so young, didn't want to catch you off guard. And I've had 30 plus years now walking with God to prove. Is it worth it? Is it worth it, Lord, to prove you Is it worth it, God, to put you to the test? How many of y'all know that God's blessings confuse Americans? Because if we're not careful, we'll think of God's blessings just simply as a BMW you get to drive for a few days and feel good about yourself. Now I'm happy, and I count that as a blessing from God. Y'all with me on that? I count it. If you gave me a Corvette, I'd praise God and call that a blessing. Y'all with me on that? But there's any number of blessings I'd rather have than a Corvette. You know that, don't you, brothers? Well, several years ago, I went one Saturday morning over to the church. I was home, went to my home church. Went down the hallway, went in this room, and had a prayer meeting in there with my daughter. She and I prayed together. We stepped out of that room, and I hugged her and gave her a kiss. Walked to the back doors of that church. And they opened the doors. And I took her arm in mine. And I escorted her to the front of the auditorium where a young man was waiting to take her as his bride. Somebody said, "Did you cry?" Good heavens, no. I know it's a little emotional, but I was so excited. You know why? Because I'd prayed for 22 years for that young man. She married David. I couldn't be happier. She married a good man. When she was 7, she called up my lap one day. She put her hands on my face and she said, "Daddy, when I grow up, I'm going to marry somebody just like you." Oh, how many dads of girls? Anybody here? I was like, "Honey, you can't do no better than that." And I meant every word of it. That's my little girl. Can I tell you, brother, something? She did marry somebody better than Daddy. Is it worth it to have family devotions for 22 years? Was it worth it to turn off the TV when we should have? Was it worth it to stay in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and every other time the doors were open? Was it worth it? Takes time to get the full blessing. Did it work for Daniel? I just got to tell you, we got to go to Daniel's proof and I'm done. Look at verses 15 through 20. Did it work? Did it work? At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter. And I got to tell you, for some reason, I just love that. Did you know that quite frequently in the Bible, when the Bible speaks of fat, it's positive? And if that doesn't put you on shouting ground, y'all, there's no hope for you. You're going to find that over the Bible. God just talks about He's going to bless us with the fat of the land. Isn't that shouting ground? It's positive in the Bible. Years ago, I was a young boy. I went to this camp meeting, and this preacher preached, and I have no idea where this came from. But he is preaching about the blessings of God in your life and about giving and getting God's blessings through your giving. And he said, "Y'all remember Abram?" He said, "Y'all remember Abram? Abram, y'all remember that man?" He said, "Abram started tithing." You know what God did? God hung a ham on him, called him Abraham. It's like, where in the world did that come from? I have no idea whether that's biblical or not, but I have never forgotten that point. The Bible's just real clear right here. And then fairer and fatter. And notice the Bible says in verse 17 that God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and all visions and dreams. And in the end of the days that the king said he would bring them, 3 years have gone by. The prince of the eunuchs brings them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them in verse 19. And among them all was found none like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And notice verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. I thought about titling this sermon, Fairer and Fatter and 10 times Better. Because that's what he's saying, isn't it? Brothers, here we are at the Men's Prayer Advance 2023. God's called us to be men of purpose. Too many of us men in our generation are floaters. We just go to church and sit there. Can I meddle just a moment?
I sit on platforms of churches all over the country. And sometimes I'm in churches and I look out into audiences and men don't sing. And I don't know. I don't want to be mean about that. Brothers, the Bible says we're to come before His presence with singing. I'm a big, don't judge me, I'm a big Tennessee Volunteer fan. It was a good year to be a Tennessee Volunteer fan. And it's been a long time since it's been a good year. So I was happy about this year. You can put 105,000 people in Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, and strike up the band. And they'll sing Rocky Top at the top of their lungs. We come to church to worship the living God. Sometimes we don't even sing. Sometimes we get critical. Music's touchy, isn't it? Always has been. I guess it's nothing new. God convicted me several years ago about going to church to worship Him and leaving mad because something happened I didn't prefer. I think it's right to have standards, and I believe in them. But brothers, church is not about my standards. It's about my God and worshiping Him. Some of you guys, I go to some churches and we only sing hymns. I'm okay with that. I love the hymns. Chances are, if I'm going to sing something, it'll be a hymn. If I'm just out working or walking or running around the house, chances are a hymn's what I love the hymns. I love their doctrine. I'm partial, but I love the hymns. I know churches that would never, ever sing anything but a hymn, except I look out on the audience and half the crowd's not singing. I've come to this men's prayer advance in this first service to say, men, it's time that you and I rise up and become men of purpose. That we get all in for Jesus Christ, that we dedicate ourselves to Him. That we get over ourselves a little bit and we walk into church. And shame on us if the women are leading the church. God's called men to stand up in His generation and do what's right. Brothers, do you sing? Brothers, are you a man of purpose and you're in the Word of God because you know that you are weak without Him and you need Him, you need His Word in your life? How long has it been since you were a man of purpose and in God's Word every day? How long has it been since you had a prayer life? How long has it been since an older man in this room tried to influence a younger man like Titus chapter 2 says older men ought to do? Is there anybody you're praying over? How long has it been since you won somebody to Jesus? Maybe that's a wrong way to say it. How long has it been since you tried to win somebody to Jesus? Here's a young man, he's just a teenager, and he's probably a eunuch, and he's never going to have a wife, he's never going to have a family, and he's going to live in a pagan culture, serving a pagan king with pagan idol worship. This is absolutely a pagan hour, and he's going to be there for the next 70 years. The Bible says he was there to the end. He continued all the way to the end. He never, ever again got to go back home. But he was a man of purpose in a pagan hour. History declares that it was worth it. I'm calling you men to become men of purpose. To get all in for God. To clean up your life cleaner than it's ever been. To get more serious about the things of God than you've ever been. To get filled with the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God in your life and to become a happy Christian on fire for God and get people into your church and get them saved and serve in your church and be all in with your wife and go home a different man, a loving man, a gentle man, a gracious man, a kind man, and go home and love on your children and train them and pray over them and fast over them and do everything in your power to make a difference in a pagan hour like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah did in theirs. Because it's worth it. Fairer and fatter and 10 times better. Isn't that just incredible? I mean, don't you just love that? Say it with me. Fairer and fatter and 10 times better. Say it like this. I want to be fairer. And I want to be fatter. Say that one louder. And I want to be fatter. And I want to be 10 times better. Don't you? And here's what we got to do. We got to get at it. It all happened because one teenager said, I will not. God is first in my life. And I'm living something bigger than me. And I thought about this as I was studying Daniel recently. It's my last slide there for you. I may never, like Daniel, impact a Nebuchadnezzar, but I most definitely can impact my life, my wife, my kids, my church, my community. I may never meet a Joe Biden or a Donald Trump. I may never meet the leaders of the land, but I got a wife at home that needs a godly husband. And I got 5 kids and a son-in-law and 2 daughters-in-law that need a godly daddy. And I got neighbors that yet need to be saved. And I got a land that's falling apart as fast as Judah was falling apart. But even as Judah fell apart, there was a Daniel in the land. Let's be that man. What would you have to change to be a Daniel? What would you have to improve to be a Daniel? What would you have to correct to be a Daniel? Where would you have to start to be a Daniel? Where would you have to prove God? It might be your finances. It might be the bitterness you've been hanging on to. Okay, God, I'm going to give it up and prove you that it's better to let it go than to hang on to it. I won't prove you, God. I tell you what I could do. If the clock is right on the screen, it's 2:43, and I'm almost done. I could be here at midnight, and I still wouldn't get done telling you that it's better. It's better. Do you believe that? Wouldn't you like to see your church on fire for God? I mean, wouldn't you like to see your church have 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 new converts this year? Wouldn't you like to see some people in your town, their marriages get put back together? Some of you got a wayward son or daughter. Wouldn't you like to see that wayward son or daughter evidencing the work of God in their life again? Wouldn't you like just to go home and have a sweeter marriage? Wouldn't you like to go home and your church have an impact in your whole town? Daniel is in Nebuchadnezzar's land. Don't buy this thinking. Well, you know, it's the last days and times are hard and it's the days of apostasy and the Lord just not moving like He used to. Maybe it's because there's no Daniels in the land. Because how many of y'all believe the Word of God is as true now as it was in days gone by? And how many of y'all believe the Spirit of God still works today like He did in days gone by? Do you believe that? And the same grace of God that saved me when I was a sinner in the gates of hell is the same grace of God that can save anybody in this generation. God is still the God of heaven. Do y'all believe that? So how in the world do you have an invitation in the first service? Could we not say to God together as brothers, Lord, I'm in. God, I'm in. I know I need to be better here, and I know I need to change that. And I know, God, I want to prove You. I want to take a step in my life as Your man. I know I'm saved, God. I want to take a step in my life because I'd like to see the blessings in my life that You gave to Daniel. Fair and fatter and 10 times better. Fair and fatter and 10 times better. Fairer and fatter and 10 times better. How's this world doing? Pretty lousy, isn't it? Give us what God has any day. Fairer and fatter and 10 times better. Brother, you can have it. Don't move. Don't move. Just close your eyes. Don't move, but close your eyes. As quiet as possible, don't move, but close your eyes. How many men in this room right now would say, hey, Dave, I know an area of my life that's not pleasing to God. Pray for me about it. Dave, I'm not even being silly here, but I know an area of my life where I need to pick it up, make some changes. I know an area of my life where I need to pick it up and make some changes. Raise your hand, let me see it. Take your hands down. How many of you would say, Dave, I really would like to experience what Daniel did. I want what Daniel got. I mean it, Dave. I want what Daniel had. How many men would raise your hand with me? That's what I want. I want to experience that. Brothers, we can. Don't move. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody in this service who would say, hey, Dave, I came to this men's conference, and I'm just going to be flat out honest. I don't know God. I don't know what this means about being saved. I know I'm a sinner. I've heard that Jesus is a Savior, but I don't know what that means. I know I'm not a Christian. And I want to know this God you're talking about. And I will tell you, dear friend, you can. I don't know Him, but I want to know Him. I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. I don't know what it means to be saved, but I want it. Let me see your hand. Anybody like that in this room? God bless you, bud. God bless you. Anybody else? Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He's the Son of God and God the Son. And He died for your sins, bro. And He was buried. And just so you would know that it's real, He was raised from the dead. He's a living Savior. He's a living God. He has all authority to wash away every sin in your life. He can make you brand new. He can bring you into His family, the family of God, clean. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Jesus died so that would be true in your life. And He was buried and He was raised from the dead so you could have eternal life. If you want that right now, turn to Him with all of your heart. Believe on Him. Call on Him. In your heart, say, Jesus, that's what I need. I believe You died for me. I believe You are who You say You are, that You're the Son of God and God the Son. You don't have to understand it all, brother, but it's true. Believe on Him. Believe on Him. Turn to Him. Call on Him. Just do it right now. Just do it with all your heart right now. Jesus, here I am, a sinner. You're the Savior, and I need You to take away my sins and rescue me from sin and hell. I want to be saved through You, Jesus. Rescued. I want eternal life. Call on Him. Turn to Him. He's real, and He loves you. Are you turning to Him, my friend? Are you calling on Him? Could we pray with you about it? Could somebody pray with you about it? Give me a pastor. Is there one of you pastors? Come here and meet me right here. Come here, Brother Rebert. And would you let Brother Rebert, he's a pastor. Would you just let him have a word of prayer with you about this? In fact, he's right across the aisle. This is of God. Would you just stand up, bro, and step right there and slip out there, pastor, and just encourage this man who wants to know Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Me too, Dave. I want to know Jesus. Anybody in this room? I want to know Him. He is the Savior, isn't He, brothers? Changed our lives, didn't He? He'll change yours. I think we ought to go to prayer, shouldn't we? I think some of us ought to kneel. God's working in our heart already. It's first service. Let's just cry out to God. Make some changes. Purpose in our hearts that I will not. Ask God to let us prove Him and see His favor and His work in our life. Would you just go to prayer? In fact, let's stand. And if you want to kneel, you can come and kneel. You can gather around the front, or you can pray with a brother. You can pray on your knees in the balcony, or come down the stairs if you want. But let's just go to prayer. Let's just go to prayer and take a moment. He's going to play a hymn for us. I will not, Daniel said, and it paid off. Let's join Him, brothers. Let's be men of purpose, and let's pray about it. You that God spoke to your heart, find a place to kneel. And He's going to play for us as soon as He's ready, and you pray. Pray with somebody if you'd like. Pray together with a brother if you'd like. Let's just seek the Lord a few moments. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. God gave him favor. God gave him wisdom and understanding. God blessed him. Here's our prayer. I have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Search me and try me. Pray it, brothers. power, all power surely is thine. Dear God of heaven, in the mighty name of our Savior and of your Son Jesus, we just step into your presence. We're awed by a Daniel in a pagan world, in a pagan culture, surrounded by such paganism that he lived for you and served you and found out it was worth it. God, I can't help but think that many of us feel like we're in that same kind of world. Churches are sleepy, God. As men, we're sleepy. We're careless about our purity, and we're careless about our entertainment, and we're too busy for our families. God, we need revival. Fill us with your Spirit. We surrender all, Lord. Have your way in our lives as men. Set us on fire in these next couple of days. Change our lives. We want to prove you, God. We want to prove you. We want to know that your will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Help us as men. God, we surrender all. Have your way. Have your way. Help this man, Lord. I don't know his story. Pastor Robert's praying with him. God, I pray, Lord, if the man is saved and just doesn't know it, help him to know it. But if he's never been born again, may this day change his life. Come into his life, Jesus. Rescue him from sin and hell. Give him eternal life. Fill him with your Spirit. Lord, may every man in this room who needs to be saved before this conference ends. I pray. And in the mighty name of Jesus, amen.